Now we come to Psalm 18, and here again is another wonderful psalm, and we wish we could spend a long time here. Now, again, many of the liberal expositors have found in this nothing in the world but David's experience, and they've had said some wonderful things about it. Again, I quote from Pironi, and listen to what he says in this magnificent hymn. The royal poet sketches in a few grand outlines the tale of his life. The record of his marvelous deliverances and of the victories which Jehovah had given him. The record, too, of his own heart, the truth of his affection towards God and the integrity of purpose by which it had ever been influenced. Throughout that singularly checkered life, hunted as he had been by Saul before he came to the throne and harassed perpetually after he became king by rivals who disputed his authority and endeavored to steal away the hearts of his people, compelled him to flee for his life before his own son, and engaged afterwards in long and fierce wars with foreign nations. One thing had never forsaken him, the love and the presence of Jehovah. By his help he had subdued every enemy, and now in his old age, looking back with devout thankfulness on the past, he sings his great song of praise to the God of his life. Now, that is all true. That is, I think, the local, contemporary interpretation of the psalm. It's actually a duplication of 2 Samuel 22. And when we came to 2 Samuel 22, I touched on it lightly and said that when we got here to the psalms, we'd deal with it a little bit more closely. It has a deeper meaning than that. Some of the utterances that are here are called bold poetic figures. But they're more than figures of speech. These utterances speak of the Son of God, the Anointed One of God, Christ our Savior in His sufferings. And some have labeled this psalm all the way from the jaws of death to Jehovah's throne. Now notice from the jaws of death, and listen to this, we're living in a day when a great deal is said about love, and they think it's foreign to the Old Testament. Notice how this psalm opens. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. When's the last time you told him that you loved him? I think one of the most wonderful things you can do is to tell him that you love him. And I think praise toward God begins because he loves us. And he's provided a salvation for us. And he preserves us. Then today there is that wonderful providence of God whereby he watches over. And notice what he's called here. First of all, our Lord, he's called my strength. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer. Now, in all of this, he is the Savior, you see. Then he says he's my strength. Again, he said that in verse 1. And he says he's my shield, and he's my horn, and he's my high tower. He's my shield. He protects me. He's my horn. He's my strength, my power. You remember David held on to the horns of the altar. My, how we need to hold on to our God and our Savior. He's our horn, and he's our high tower. That's a good place for protection also, and a good place to get a vision and a perspective of life. Many of us need to go to the high tower, and I'm not talking about a magazine here. I'm talking about God is our high tower. Here are wonderful names for him. But you know the thing here that interests me a great deal, and maybe you noticed it, is the personal pronoun my. O Lord, my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer, my God. You know, it's one thing to say God is a great strength. God has great power. It's one thing to talk about the attributes of God and say he's omnipotent. My, that sounds big. But the point is this. Can you say he's my strength? It's one thing to say God is a shepherd. David could have said the Lord is a shepherd, and he is. But it's altogether something else. He's my shepherd. Oh, how different it is to be able to say that. I think I used this illustration the other day. I went out to the airport to meet my wife. She went back to get our little grandson so he wouldn't have to ride in a car all the way across the country. And it was during the holiday season, and a lot of little boys and little girls, little folk, some in arms, being carried out. Now, all precious children, I looked at them and smiled, and then all of a sudden, here comes one. He's different, friends. You know why he's different? He's my grandson. There were a lot of grandparents there, and my, how sentimental these old grandparents can become. And there they were, you know, greeting their grandchild. It's wonderful. But there was one of them. He was different for me. And you know why? Because this little possessive pronoun, my. And can you say today, the Lord is my shepherd? He's my high tower. He's my horn. He's my shield. He's my strength. He's my deliverer. He's my rock. He's my fortress. Can you say that today? He's mine. Now he says, I'll call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. And that's what worship is. It comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word worth, worthy. Worship is that which is extended to the one who's worthy. God is worthy. I'll call upon the Lord. Why? He's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And by the way, again, this psalm reaches out and touches the hem of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bishop Horn, now I gave another quotation a while ago. Let me give this one from Bishop Horn. He saw in this psalm something else. Let us suppose King Messiah, like his progenitor of old, seated upon the throne. From thence let us imagine him taking a retrospective view of the sufferings he'd undergone, the battles he had fought, the victories he'd gained. With this before our minds, we shall be able in some measure to conceive the force of the words, with all the yearnings of affection, I love thee, O Jehovah, my strength. Through my union with whom I have finished my work, and I'm now exalted to praise thee and those who are redeemed. What a picture. And friends, this just happens to be a song we can join in on. Listen to him now as he goes over that period. And I think this not only recounts the life of David in a limited way, but the life of the Lord Jesus. He says here, the sorrows of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol, the grave, compassed me about, the snares of death were round about me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, you see. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even to his ears. And what happened? Well, he responded. And what happened yonder when the Lord Jesus was brought back from the grave? Verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was angry. Angry, sinful man had done this to him. And we're told that when that stone was rolled away, there was an earthquake. Now we're in a section where the pronoun changes. And instead of it being the first personal pronoun, which was possessive, back up in the first, it is now the third person, and it refers to the Lord. You see here, we read, there went up, verse 8, a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth, devoured, coals were kindled. He bowed the heavens also and came down. And darkness was upon his feet, and he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. There was darkness when he was crucified, you know. Who did all this? Verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. And that was that voice, you remember, out of heaven, this is my beloved Son. And then again, the emphasis still in this department. Verse 16, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Now it started off with my. And then it is all about what God has done. Now it's he and me. Now that may be bad grammar, but that's the way it is here. He and me. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Oh, this personal, vital relationship that you and I need with God today. Oh, to come to grips with Him, my friend. He brought me forth also into a large place. Need help today? You need a partner today? I want to recommend one to you. He'll never desert you, never leave you nor forsake you. And He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end. You may desert Vernon McGee, but He never will. And that's the reason I depend on Him more than I depend on you, my friend. And that's the reason you ought to depend on Him instead of depending on me. Isaiah says, put not your confidence in man. Now we have to drop right down to the end of this marvelous, wonderful psalm here. Will you notice? It says here, verse 48, He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those who rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. I think that's Satan. I wish we had time to talk about that. Verse 49, will you listen? Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises unto Thy name. Great deliverance giveth He to His king, and showeth mercy to His anointed, to David, and to His seed forevermore. And He extends mercy to us today. How wonderful He is! And the psalm closes on this note of praise to God. Oh, that there might be praise in your mouth and in my mouth, in your life and my life, in your heart and my heart today. Praise to God. And we're going to come to a psalm that says, the Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And friends, if they don't say so, nobody's going to say so in this world today. I don't think our country is going to say so. But the redeemed ought to say so. We need some say-so Christians.